Hi, this is Jay Schubert, DO, professor and diabetologist at Torrey University of California, and we will continue our series on everyday diabetes, practical pointers for primary care. And I'm delighted to have with me Dr. Jim Chamberlain, the medical director for diabetes services at St. Mark's Hospital and St. Mark's Diabetes Center in Salt Lake City, Utah. He's also an active member in the primary care advisory group of the American Diabetes Association. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jay.
You bet. We have a really important topic to talk about tonight. And there was a study that came out in Diabetologia earlier this year talking about the age of diagnosis and the severity of the disease for type 2 diabetes, and basically saying the younger you are, the worse the disease. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. You know, we've been seeing type 2 diabetes, overweight, obesity epidemic, you know, hitting adults. We knew that in America over the last couple decades, but obviously starting to see this in kids, teenagers, much younger adults, people that are much younger than we're used to diagnosing with diabetes. So, you know, we sort of assumed that was not a good thing, living more years with obesity and diabetes and all the things that go along with that. And we can talk more about that. But this study is really pretty eye-opening and scary because basically what it showed is for every decade that you live with diabetes longer than someone else at the same age you're at. So you take two 50-year-old men, for example, one just got diagnosed with diabetes a year ago. The other one was diagnosed 11 years ago. So like a decade difference. That person who was diagnosed 10 years earlier has about a 30% higher risk of dying and a 60% increased risk of cardiovascular mortality. So cardiovascular death is driving this increased risk. And that's a huge risk that we've got to figure out how to address.
Yeah, I think that's very important because I know we always think about the microvascular complications, but it's heart disease and stroke that kills most people with diabetes.
Right.
And so, and they saw that there. So I know that earlier is worse, but it sounds like it's even more important, not only just the duration of diabetes, but younger people are getting complications quicker than older people for the same duration. Is that correct?
Yeah. And you know, that's something we don't really understand. So, you know, this study was so well done, and the discussion part of this paper is really well done. There was another study recently that showed that if you were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes before age 45, that you had a 14-fold higher risk of having a myocardial infarction compared to somebody your age who didn't have diabetes. I mean, that's incredible. So what's really interesting about this study and what we need to learn more about is the phenotype of these people that are diagnosed with diabetes at a younger age is different. There's something different. These people have, many of them have very, I guess you could call it aggressive cardiovascular risk factors. They have hypertension that's hard to treat. They have the typical dyslipidemia of diabetes, but sometimes even worse with really high triglycerides, low HDL. You know, maybe they have the more small, dense, atherosclerotic, bad LDL. We don't know, but there's something different. There's something different about getting type 2 at age 30 versus age 60. They have more aggressive cardiovascular risk factors, and we've got to start to be better about treating those and treating their diabetes, obviously.
Yeah. So why do you think we're getting younger people with diabetes? Because it was very uncommon for me to see a 30-year-old with type 2 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's our society, Jay. It's you know, a lot of things that are wrong with our society. I mean, too many calories in, not enough calories out. There's a lot of cheap calories out there. I mean, this is something, you know, we've been talking about for a long time, is how do we get people moving? I mean, technology has made life, it's really easy to not move much these days, and calories are cheap. And so, you know, this is a worldwide health crisis that we are dealing with. I mean, you could argue that obesity and the resulting diseases from obesity are the single biggest health crisis in this world. It's the diabetes, it's the cancers that go along with that. It's the sleep apnea, the vascular endothelial effects, the vascular disease that we talked about. This is a huge problem. So we got to get people moving. We've got to get people to control calories and weight and try to maintain healthy weights. And we're starting to make progress. You know, we're starting to see the obesity rates in America at least start to slow down. They're not continuing to go exponentially in the wrong direction like we've seen for a long time. So people are aware, but we as physicians have got to help our patients understand the importance of weight control and obesity and all the bad things that leads to.
Yeah. So something that's near and dear to my heart is the diabetes prevention program. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what's your take on this? If we could, you know, I don't think that everyone that does that program is going to have a life without diabetes, but mm-hmm. if we could delay the diagnosis of diabetes, is that a reasonable approach? What is your take on that?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, do you remember the day, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, we used the term Syndrome X, right? Which we don't really mm-hmm. use anymore, but it really just means metabolic syndrome. It means people develop obesity, central adiposity, leading to hypertension, dyslipidemia, insulin resistance, and, you know, pre-diabetes and all of that. Like you said, the diabetes prevention program worked. I mean, intensive lifestyle intervention, 60% decrease in your risk of, you know, going from pre-diabetes to diabetes. Metformin was half as good. Metformin's good too. Let's do both. So let's identify people early. We've got to keep looking out. You know, this study, you sort of snickered when I said Syndrome X, because I do too. It was a cute term. It was cool. We don't use it much anymore, but maybe we should start doing that again, focusing on people that are developing the pre-diabetic A1C and blood sugar levels, the high triglyceride, low HDL, hypertension or pre-hypertension, they're centrally obese, and getting on those people, getting them to the resources that we know make a difference. Diabetes education, diabetes prevention program type programs, using drugs like metformin to keep blood sugar controlled. And then we've got to be aggressive with hypertension and lipid management too in these people.
Sure. So what I heard you say, and I think it was said so well, is that we should not be reassured when younger people get type 2 diabetes. And when they get it, we could make a difference by being more aggressive with their screening. We should probably be more aggressive with the diagnosis and be more aggressive with our interventions, because just the sheer younger age bodes a worse outcome if we do nothing.
Absolutely. I don't know how anybody could look at this study. You know, this is 750,000 people in Australia, millions of patient years, right? I mean, this is real data. I don't know how you could look at that study and not understand that we have got to be aggressive. This is not the time to back off on diabetes management. It is time to get aggressive, especially with younger people. They have a long time to live. And this data shows, I mean, your risk of dying and your risk of cardiovascular death is increased dramatically when you are diagnosed earlier with type 2 diabetes. So yes, early diagnosis, aggressive early management, both with glucose control, but also hypertension and lipids, lifestyle intervention, diabetes education, weight loss, exercise, getting down to healthy weights. I mean, this is scary stuff. We've got to be aggressive. It's the time to go right now. It's not time to back off. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your insight. And I always appreciate your contributions to practical pointers in primary care for everyday diabetes.
All right. Thanks, Jay.